And welcome to Dakota Midday. I am Kara Hetland, and October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we're going to spend some time this afternoon talking about this. And joining me is Abby Sharp. She is the team case manager for the organization called Working Against Violence, Inc., or WAVY, located in Rapid City. And Abby, thanks so much for joining us today on Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
So WAVY, as it's known as the acronym, has gone through several names. So let's talk a little bit about how it's gone from Women Against Violence to Working Against Violence, and why the change.
We noticed a lot of men that are victims of domestic violence. So we just changed from Working Women to Working Against Violence, just to show support that men are victims of domestic violence.
And how common is it for a man to be a victim?
One in every three men are victims of domestic violence.
One in three?
Yes.
Are we talking, when we say domestic violence, let's define that just a little bit. Is this physical violence? Is it mental violence?
It's everything. Domestic violence is any coercion or threats, physical, verbal, emotional, sexual can be in domestic violence. So it's everything.
And how do you know? I mean, October is the time to talk about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the time to bring awareness. And what's the awareness that we need to bring? That it happens?
That it does happen. I think there's a still a thought that domestic violence is a private matter instead of a public matter, but that is not true. WAVY served almost a little over 1,800 victims of domestic violence in 2014, so it is a big problem in Rapid City. So October is a time to bring awareness and make sure this community knows that WAVY is here for them whenever they are seeking help.
So. And WAVY is on the western side of the state. And
yes.
for me, on the eastern side of the state, is WAVY the only organization in Rapid City, or are there others that deal with this?
We are the only one in Rapid City. There is one in Spearfish, the Artemis House, but for Rapid City, WAVY is the only shelter.
And WAVY, that was my next question. It's a shelter. It's for a place for people to go.
Yep. So we shelter victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. We're an immediate shelter. So our clients only stay about 2 to 3 weeks, but we do extensive case management while they are there, helping them heal from the process of being a victim of domestic violence, and also helping them find housing, employment, counseling, anything that they need.
So for only a couple of weeks they stay?
Yeah.
Okay, and then they have to find their own place? Are they still in danger?
If they are still in danger, we work with them. Our big thing is that they remain safe, so we will work with them, maybe finding them a different shelter to go to or having them stay a little longer. Each case is different, so we work with them and we help them in any way.
And are there children involved? Children with the mother or the parent who left?
Yep, we help children and we help them get into counseling. And a lot of our women do have children. So,
okay, so 2,000 people in Rapid City alone in 2014. Any idea of statewide numbers of people seeking help?
I don't know that number.
Okay. But there are organizations all in almost every community, is that fair to say, or
yeah.
Region?
Yeah. South Dakota is really different because we have a lot of domestic violence shelters, and we don't have a lot of homeless shelters. We were working with HUD Housing, and they just say we're really different because we have over 20 domestic violence shelters in South Dakota compared to other states.
Okay. So Abby, talk me through what is typically, I mean, I don't want, specific cases or anything like that, but in general terms, what What is the tipping point for some women to just say, I've had enough, this is my final straw, I'm leaving?
Children are a big factor with leaving. If their partner becomes violent towards the children, that's always a cause to leave. But statistically, it takes about 12 times for a victim of domestic violence to actually leave the relationship. So each case is different. We don't really keep track of why women leave. But children are a number one factor, and just the violence increasing. It can start with only verbal violence, but then it gets to physical violence, and then the tipping point is actually being killed by their partner. So
then it's too late, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we always see billboards about this time of year of women like leaning up against the wall with a big black eye. Mm-hmm. Is it that evident that they're being abused? Is it really that noticeable?
Some cases it is, but other cases it's not. It's more of an internal, emotional problem. They're more isolated, and they're quiet, and they really don't know how to interact with people, because that's one of the power and control is their partner isolating them from family and friends, always keeping track of them. So it's more of an internal thing.
So what do I look for in other women? So if I do notice somebody's being abused, what do I look for?
If you have a conversation and you're talking about their family, if they get really quiet and they don't really talk about their partner in like a loving way, that might be an indicator. Or if they just seem different than normal, you can definitely have that conversation.
So what do I say? How do you bring it up?
Just...
Because that's really hard. I mean, it's a hard spot. It's hard to get that information.
It is a hard thing to talk about. And some women or men aren't ready to talk about it. But just having a normal conversation and gradually bringing it up. So how's your marriage, or how's the relationship? And if they are hesitant, or if you know that something's wrong, you can definitely try to talk to them. Or if they don't want to talk to you, you can definitely refer them to another agency.
And what if the role is reversed and it is a man who's being abused? How easy is it for him to come forward, and how would it be for me to recognize abuse? Does it look differently in a male?
It could. Men and women are different, and there's a stigmatism that men don't report domestic violence because of the social roles of being a man. They have to be the strong one, and reporting it or talking about it can be a sign of weakness. But still having that conversation and still letting them know that you're here for them when they are ready to talk. So
oftentimes we've all been to the doctor and they always ask you that question. Are you being abused? Is there mm-hmm. anything you want to report? Anything you want to talk about? Is that our safe place?
That could be. Definitely. There's the confidentiality. But again, a lot of women and men don't report domestic violence. Or they're not ready yet to have an other people know about that.
And what would happen if somebody was to say yes, sitting there at the doctor's office with the blood pressure cuff on, and they're just going through their checklist?
Medical personnel are mandatory reporters, so they would.
Things would move quickly. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they would report it, and it's really up to the client or the victim of domestic violence if they want to talk to law enforcement or if they want to move forward.
What are some, how are the laws in South Dakota? Is there enough? Are penalties enough in South Dakota if you're convicted?
Yeah, we have the domestic violence law. So if there are probable cause when law enforcement arrives on a domestic violence scene, if there's probable cause that an assault happened, it's a mandatory arrest. And then they would go through the justice process. So the victim would talk with a victim advocate with the state's attorney's office, and then they would see what they want to do and go from there.
Oops, I'm sorry. I pushed a button and I forgot to unpush it. I'm sorry. What kind of resources are there other than domestic shelters for people who feel they are a victim of abuse?
Law enforcement is a good resource. There's the Crisis Care Center here in Rapid City, which is a good resource. And there's a lot of counseling for low-income around in Rapid City. So Catholic Social Services and Lutheran Social Services. Definitely counseling is a big, important thing for clients of ours.
Of the nearly 2,000 people in Rapid City that were served last year, how many of them were men?
I don't have that number. I can get back to you on that.
You said 1 in 3 men are abused in some way, right? Either physical,
yeah.
Okay, or mentally. It's just such a startling number, especially for the men on the other side of the glass looking at me, shaking their head, wondering how this can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have words.
You don't have words. When children are involved in the equation and they come to a shelter, how do you reach out to children?
We make sure that, again, they're in a stable environment. There's a lot of statistics on and research on children, the effects of domestic violence that is on children. And so they can have behavioral issues, they can regress. So we make sure that they are in a stable environment. We make sure that they have resources for counseling, and so they can prosper.
Eventually, though, they're going to have to see the abuser again, are they not?
In some cases, yes.
In some cases. And how do you prepare them for that?
We do a safety plan with all of our clients, especially if they want to go back to the relationship or if they are still in the relationship. So we make sure that they are aware of safety techniques, like always being aware of exits, always having their cell phone with them, and make sure that they are safe and the children are safe. And we can help them through child custody and protection orders. So that's another aspect of if children are involved in having them see the other parent.
So the safety plan is if you're still in the relationship?
Yep, we can. We do have clients that are still in an abusive relationship and they're not ready to leave, but they do want more information about domestic violence or about leaving. So we do go over a safety plan. It's split into sections. So if they're in a violent situation, if they're preparing to leave, what to take with them, and when they do leave, what happens now, and when they're on their own, how to make their own home safe. So,
and is there a safety plan if they're alone and the abuser may continue to come after them?
Yep. We do. We talk about protection orders. We talk about having like security in their home or having something that can alert them if someone comes to their house. So.
I also saw the phrasing on your website, a recovery plan. What is a recovery plan? Or what's the difference between a safety plan and a recovery plan?
A recovery plan is when they're recovering from a domestic violence relationship. It's all about the healing process. So we help them start their journey of healing healing from a domestic violence or sexual assault takes a long time. So we do support groups. We make sure we do education with our clients about domestic violence.
You say the recovery takes a long time. Are you ever fully recovered?
It depends for each client. If you go through a traumatic experience, I don't think it will ever be erased from your life. So you can definitely learn tools and be educated. So it's definitely there still.
Now, this whole month of October is about talking about domestic violence and drawing attention. And if you had to pick the one thing that needs the most attention right now on this topic, what would it be?
Bystander intervention. So family or friends not knowing what to do when their friend or their relative comes to them. So definitely having an education piece this month about what to do when someone comes to you.
So, do they have to come to you, or is it about getting the courage to go to them?
That's an aspect too. It goes both ways. So making sure that people have the tools when dealing with a client or a victim of domestic violence. So always listening to them, always believing them, and then helping them find the resources when they're ready.
So there's been some big profile cases in Rapid City that have drawn attention to this. A policeman shot and killed a man who was accused of domestic violence, and there's several cases of breaking in and attacking the victim. Mm-hmm. And does this really represent, does this paint the picture of the problem in South Dakota?
It's a definite aspect. Sometimes it's bigger than what happens. Sometimes it's just a simple fight and someone loses their control. So it's a wide range of domestic violence. That's just the high profile one.
Okay. Abby, I want to thank you for taking time and talking with us today on Dakota Midday. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Abby Sharp is the team case manager for Working Against Violence Incorporated, or WAVI, in Rapid City. And again, October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month.